So this is the introduction to our series of catechism classes. In the book of Revelation, the Apostle John records these words spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. As we continue our lessons for this class, we'll talk about what this means in greater detail. But as in any course of study, we should begin with the beginning. And we should begin with the end in mind as well. And Jesus Christ is both the beginning and the end. We as human beings were created for him and by him. Of course, we speak of God creating as the Holy Trinity, all three divine persons participating in our creation. Christ, however, is the only person of the Trinity who becomes man. He is the image, the pattern according to which we're made. We find our purpose in him, and he became a human being for us in order to restore his image in us, in order to make us truly like him. Saint Athanasius the Great famously said, God became man so that man might become God. This might seem like a radical way of putting it if we're not used to it, but this is exactly the truth. The Word of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, became a human being. And we know him as Jesus Christ, so God became man. And he did this in order to restore us to our true purpose, which is exactly to be in the image and likeness of God, to be children of God. In other words, to be gods, you could say with a lowercase g. The whole lie of the serpent, of course, was that we could become gods without God. But we'll talk about that later. It's only possible to be truly what we're created to be, to reach our full potential, so to speak, with God. With his help, according to his plan, giving up our own selfish will, doing his will, humbling ourselves. This is the only way. To be a Christian, to be a member of the church, to live the Orthodox faith, this is what our purpose is, and what we're trying to say something about in this class. But all of this means to approach the infinite God, or rather to be approached by him, to receive, live in him. But can you define the infinite? Can you explain God? Can you comprehend him? Can you even explain man? No, you can't really. However, God in his endless love for us has revealed himself. We sing at the Orthros service the verse from Psalm 127. God is the Lord, and hath appeared unto us. In some translations, it's, and hath revealed himself to us. This is what makes our Christian life possible. If the incomprehensible God who dwells in unapproachable light, as St. Paul says in the first epistle to Timothy, if he were not to come to us in his mercy and love, we would remain in darkness forever. But that's not his will. So we can live the Christian life because of God's great love for us and what he's accomplished for us, all the things revealed in the Gospels and throughout all the Scriptures. That's the first, most basic point we have to be utterly clear about. And the second point, because the God-man Jesus Christ has made it possible for us, we're called to live a divine human life. This is what is summed up in the words found in both the Old Testament and in the Gospel. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The Lord describes these as being the first and great commandment and the second like the first. This summarizes how we should respond to God's boundless love for us and how we are to live in a truly divine human way, which is what we're made for. Now we know, if we've lived for 5 minutes as a self-aware adult in this world, that there's nothing harder than really loving God and our neighbor. And while the Lord enables us to do so, or else he wouldn't command us to do this, nevertheless, he doesn't remove completely the aspect of struggle. The fact that living the Christian life requires a great struggle. In fact, the Lord wants to see us fight. We demonstrate our love for him, above all, in the fact that we keep struggling to be faithful in spite of our weakness, our failures, and all the difficulties we encounter. The archetypal image of the struggler is seen in the martyrs of the church, those faithful Christians who lived and died for Christ, without renouncing him no matter what. We should know from the start of our Christian life that martyrdom is the norm for Christians. Even if we aren't called someday to literally die for Christ, still we are to live lives bearing witness. That's what martyria, or martyrdom, means. So in fact, we do live lives dying for Christ, because if we live for Christ, then we'll have to die to the things of this world. So we're dying to the things of this world for Christ. And this is first and foremost just in our day-in, day-out, painful, exhausting struggle not to give up and to keep trying to do God's holy will. However, we don't struggle alone. This is a key point. There's a traditional saying, one Christian is no Christian. And another expression, nobody goes to heaven alone. The only place you go by yourself is hell. The point being, of course, that to be a Christian is to be a member of the body of Christ, which is the church. It means being in a community, belonging to a community. And it's a vast community, extending throughout space and time. It includes angels, saints, and all faithful Christians throughout history. And they're all present every time we enter into liturgical worship. And in fact, every time we struggle to be faithful to Christ in whatever way, they are all also with us. Practically speaking, we're also connected to a particular local church community with a particular priest, godparents, brothers and sisters in Christ. And we can't do it on our own without our community. And if we tried to, that would not really be the true Christian life. God gives us our brothers and sisters for our salvation. We can even go so far as to say, and this is actually crucial, that there is no salvation outside the church. But we'll talk more about that in later classes. For now, we need to just say clearly that the Orthodox Church is the one body of Christ, and the fullness of the grace of the Holy Spirit and life in Christ is only to be found in her, and that we can't live without her, spiritually speaking. And thank God. Some people will object, of course, that it isn't an institution, meaning the church, that saves us, and that it's enough to have faith in Jesus Christ. After all, Christ blasted the Pharisees for following man-made traditions, and we know that Christ is the only mediator, as it says in 1 Timothy, and so on. And people will argue that Christianity is not a religion, but rather a relationship, and that we shouldn't be caught up in following rules, and on and on. Again, we'll address these questions in more detail later. But for now, we could say simply this. The word religion literally means reunion. If we think of the story of the prodigal son in the gospel, we see there a reunion that takes place. This is the essence of the religion we call Orthodox Christianity. Religion in this sense is precisely about a relationship, a right relationship with God, which needs to be restored in our life. This doesn't happen in an individualistic way, me and my Bible, or me and Jesus. It happens within the life of the body of Christ, the church, of which we become members in our baptism. And rules exist in the life of the church, precisely in order to guide us into that right relationship, and to keep us in it. This is all given to us by God, handed down from Christ through his apostles and through all the generations until now. This is what we call tradition, the handing on of the true faith, the true way of life that leads to the kingdom of heaven. Christ, our Savior, is our head, the head of the body. And by the all-holy Spirit who proceeds from the Father and who is sent to us by our Savior Christ, we are truly enabled to live as members of Christ's body, and thus to be the church. And through our baptism, chrismation, and partaking of the Eucharist and all that the church gives us, we live the true life of God's people, which is the life of the kingdom of heaven. And the church is both perfect as Christ's body, which will continue until the end of time and never be vanquished by evil, and at the same time, it is the hospital in which countless sinners find refuge and healing, which is good news for us because we're all in need of that healing. Why should someone become an Orthodox Christian? Not just to escape from somewhere else, although it's understandable when people want to leave other confessions where the love for truth seems to be vanishing. but it can't just be a matter of running away. We shouldn't become Orthodox because we just want something more exotic or something like that. Instead, we should only become Orthodox if we simply want Christ with all our heart, and we want the life that is truly in Him, and we know that this is to be found in all its fullness only in the Orthodox Church. So let's end with two short stories from the tradition of the Church. The first one speaks to the challenge we're given by Christ in our life to carry on a sustained struggle to be faithful, and how Christ remains with us through that struggle. The second speaks to our high calling as Christians, and that we must not settle for less than what God intends for us. So this is the first story. One ascetic woman was besieged for a long time with unclean thoughts. When the Lord came and cast them away from her, she called to him, "Where were you before now, O my sweet Jesus?" The Lord answered, "I was in your heart." She said then, "How could that be? For my heart was full of unclean thoughts." The Lord said to her, "Know that I was in your heart, for you were not disposed to the unclean thoughts, but strove rather to be free of them. And when you were not able to be free, you struggled and grieved. By this you prepared a place for me in your heart." That's from St. Ambrose of Optina. And the second story. Abba Lot went to see Abba Joseph and said to him, "Abba, as far as I can, I say my little rule of prayer. I fast a little. I pray and meditate. I live in peace, and as far as I can, I purify my thoughts. What else can I do?" Then the old man stood up and stretched his hands towards heaven. His fingers became like 10 lamps of fire, and he said to him, "If you will, you can become all flame." That's from the sayings of the Desert Fathers. Both of these stories focus on the particular experiences of particular Christians, but they happen within the larger context of life in the Church. So far from being examples of some kind of individualistic approach, they are just two among countless examples of what happens with men and women when they choose to struggle faithfully in cooperation with Jesus Christ, according to the way of life handed down from generation to generation in the Holy Orthodox Church.